I'm serious. It's just the natural thing we do. Who do we invite over to our house? Who do we go out to the, whatever, you know, the movie with? That's the thing. But the newly converted person, everybody he knows, generally speaking, is people like him. So you never know when you're entering into a redemptive relationship with one, it may trigger an influence in a whole group of people. Now, I don't know if you heard what happened on Pentecost Sunday past in Rome, Italy. Pope Francis laid hands on a young man in a wheelchair and prayed for him. Anybody seen the video of that? Okay. If you watch the video, which is very brief, you can see the young man in this video, in the chair, open his mouth wide while the Pope is praying for him. He exhales sharply, at least once, if not more than once, and then he slumps back in his chair. Now, interestingly, this video went viral. Is that a good word? Aren't you impressed? I just went viral and created a storm of controversy. Part of the controversy was, is the Pope an exorcist? Because they began to wonder, was that kid demon-possessed, and did the Pope cast it out and do an exorcism right in front of everybody? And the Vatican, interestingly, played it down. The Vatican quickly disavowed that that was an exorcism and the Pope is an exorcist. I'm going like, why? I mean, why should it be strange to us that there are people out there who are oppressed by the devil? And some of them are infested by the devil. Why should it be weird that the Pope, for goodness sake, or any Christian for that matter, would pray for such a person? And why would we think it's bizarre that he actually might get healed and delivered? So I thought, what's strange is not that the Pope did something Christian, reaching out to maybe a lost soul or a broken soul or a hurting soul, but what I find is that everybody's response to it, it's like this was a weird thing. What I'd say is their response is weird. This is what Christianity is all about. This is a person, and notice it wasn't a long personal contact. All he did was just walk up to the kid and pray for him. But that's a personal contact. We actually call this, I do, power evangelism. And it's New Testament evangelism. I mean, Luke chapter 10 and verse 1 says that Jesus appointed 70 others. And he sent them out ahead of him two by two into every town and place where he himself was about to come. And he said to them, the harvest is, you know the word, plentiful. That means there are what? Lots of them out there. But the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into his harvest field. And then he said in verse 8, whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Notice the relationships. Eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near. That's why I call it power evangelism. So I'm blending today to get a vision for you in this church, personal evangelism and power evangelism. Power evangelism is not just relating to people personally. It's relating to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's bringing your words, God's words, and his wonders together to touch and change people's lives. And I believe when we read the New Testament, that's exactly the kind of evangelism that Jesus did himself. He healed the sick, he delivered the captives, he raised the dead, and he preached the word, and they went together, and it changed the world for Christ. And let me tell you something about our communion. We're perfectly poised to do that kind of witnessing in this generation. We're in a generation that, in my opinion, is going to be less impressed with words alone. Are you with me? Less impressed. There was a time when you could probably go up to a person and take your Bible and do the four or five spiritual laws, and they would respond because they had some measure of background in Christian things, even if they weren't living a Christian life. You know what I mean? But let me tell you what, that's less and less true every day. So now we got to be more New Testament. We got to be more first century. And the way Jesus and the first century church converted souls was the words and the wonders touched people and changed their lives. So that's why Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world, there's the word again, preach the gospel of the whole creation, there's the great commandment again, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, who does not believe will not be saved. But then he says, these signs will accompany, come on, those who believe. Now, it didn't say these signs will accompany Father David. Although I hope it includes Father David. It didn't say these signs will accompany the Pope. But I hope it includes the Pope. It says these signs will accompany those who... That's you. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Here's the deal. The Pope's not the only one who has the power and the authority to lay hands on the sick and the captives and ask God to heal and deliver them. We all have the Great Commission. And we are all men on a mission. And our mission is to advance the kingdom of God in our generation as these 70 did in theirs. Because here's the deal, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means the mission is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The power is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The authority is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The kingdom is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we come back to redemptive relationships. My challenge to you is to consider these things. Are you seeking, faithfully seeking, to enter into redemptive relationships with lost souls for their sake and the sake of the kingdom? Are you faithfully praying for opportunities to share the good news with lost people? And are you faithfully ministering to those lost souls God brings into your life and you into their lives so that the Holy Spirit can use you to bless them? My prayer is that you'll catch a vision afresh for the simple thing we call the Great Commission, and that your church will be an evangelistic church more and more and more. Now back to our little paper. I want to move into a time of prayer. I'm going to ask three groups of people to come forward. The first group is anybody in this church who believes he already has the gift and ministry of evangelism. Because I want God, if there are any, to release you in ever-increasing measure. Okay, that's number one. Number two is anybody in this church who's willing today to ask God's blessing and to commit themselves to, after listening to this word, to obey it. In other words, I'm available, Lord, to reach out redemptively with your power and with your help. That'll be the second group. Then thirdly, if God gave you a name, I'm going to ask you to bring that name and put it in the alms basket. And we're going to pray over those people today and you today. But then I'm going to leave that basket with Father David and ask him to pray over them every day for 1 month. And ask God to touch their lives for the kingdom. Amen? Pretty simple. Okay. Now here's the deal. He won't look at the names and neither will I. But they just represent the person you're bringing to Christ. Okay? So, the first group... See, I knew this was going to fall off. Somebody told me I look like Madonna. I told them no, too, but... You know, okay. I love this thing, Father. Yes, I know. It's, So, Father, I just ask you to come right now. I ask you to come in power in this place. And I ask you to stir us up and give us more of a heart for lost souls. And if in any way, in our natural man, we have a repulsion, that you replace it with an attraction. Because we need the heart of Christ today. I pray, Father, that even now your anointing will flow for an evangelistic blessing on this church. I'm praying that you'll release this church into this city and impact this city more and more and more for your kingdom. I'm asking you, Father, to break off any fear or reluctance today. And instead, according to your word, as you did in the book of Acts, shake this room, fill us with your spirit, that we can speak the word of God with boldness and courage. And I ask you to call sovereignly people to your throne right now, in Jesus' name. So first, is there anybody here? I don't even know if you have any who believe they have a gift.